This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, we're breaking down Spinning Out Season 1, Episode 9, Number 1 Mom today. It's going to be a great one. Stick with us.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to yet another, and we're drawing close to the end here of Spinning Out After Show. I'm freaking out. This is a really great Netflix original series that we binged for you guys. All right, well, let's get into introducing this panel. All the way on the other side of the table, we have Miss Ebony Chapman.
Hello.
She is our expert binge watcher.
All I do.
All she does.
That's
all
my
she
job.
Does is binge, binge, binge.
No right. Can't even kiss you with that theme song.
And then we have Miss Emily May, a longtime fan of the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
What is your favorite sport? Winter Olympic sport?
Ice skating.
What? Are you trying to please me or
no,
what?
No,
Are you trying to tease me?
No, I like make a schedule and I like try to catch all the ice skating events. I'm a diehard fan, so.
So good. And then we know about our little injured woman, the only host on the panel who has injured herself during ice skating.
I mean, I've fallen, but not as extensive as her injury.
If you guys don't know this injury that we're talking about, then you didn't watch episode 8, which means you need to go back. You went too far. So go back and watch episode 8 of our after show, and then you can continue and you'll know the injury we're talking about.
It's graphic. Yes.
All right, number one mom, what a title, right?
Ooh. Oh, it means so much.
Lauren, what'd you think overall?
I thought that it was a little calmer than episode 8, so I appreciated the break, but not much calmer. It was still a lot going on. Still a lot of different storylines. And I actually kind of empathized with Carol.
You did?
A little bit.
Emily.
Yeah, the title, Number One Mom, there's a lot of connotations to that. There's a lot of, like, what does that mean for these characters? And so I liked how this highlighted kind of Carol's, her comeback.
Yeah. So true. How about you, Emine?
I honestly was like, I cried a lot in this episode.
Aww.
You did.
I did. I was feeling super emotional. Maybe I watched it in the morning, and that's why.
But
I was
like,
you were fresh.
I was crying so much in this episode. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, don't. And then it was like, tear. This is.
Oh, I know. So sad. So tell us each time.
I will. That you I'll cry. Point it out. Don't okay. worry. I'll point it out.
Like crying, tears, done, over with. All right. So we start in this episode with Carol in the hospital flashback with Kat when she had her big injury. So we got to see a little bit more of that. And then we kind of see that Kat slept for 4 days straight because she's, you know, going through this lithium withdrawal kind of and then getting back on it kind of thing. And what did you think of that scene, Emily, where she's just waking up and we're finding out? And
yeah, I mean, she's going through a lot because she is gonna not remember some of the things that she's done when she was in her state. So like she's waking up in her old bedroom at Carol's house, and so her old childhood bedroom. And so she's dealing with a lot of emotions right now of, like, the repercussions of what she did, of, like, balancing her medication and getting back on the straight and narrow and trying to figure that out. And then also just, like, the emotional, complicated relationship she has with her mom. And so there's a lot going on here. And, you know, I feel for her because she's, like, trying to figure it out and trying to get back to skating.
Yeah. Ebony, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no.
Did you cry here?
I did not.
Okay. No.
This is,
just making sure.
It didn't start off with the crying. Yeah, no, I agree, but I definitely think that the first 3 days, and she didn't even know, like, where she was. She was like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, like, what was it, regionals or...
Sectionals.
Yeah. She was like, sectionals are tomorrow? Like, okay, first of all, when they said that, I was like, oh my gosh, how many dates? Because Justin in the last episode was like, they're in a week. They're in a week, right? So then when she's like, they're tomorrow, I'm like, dang, how long has she been asleep? Like, she didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Like, the whole time, I was like, what's happening? And then when her mom's like, oh, you've been asleep for 3 or 4 days, I was like, dang. I mean, I like that they kind of, like, bring you through, like, what happens when you're having a withdrawal of, like, your medicine and, like, maybe... I mean, I had no idea anything about bipolar disorder, so, like, this is actually showing a lot. So if you take your off your meds and then you're back on, mm-hmm. you have withdrawals, and then you're asleep for 3 or 4 days. I mean, that's, like, hibernation. That's, like, crazy. I was like, wow. I was just really surprised that, I don't know, like, I'd be worried if I had someone, you know, 3 or 4 days, you would think they're in a coma. I don't know. I'd be, like, really concerned.
She goes, how long has she been asleep?
I mean, I liked the fact that Netflix is addressing this issue and showing what it's like to go through something like this. So I can appreciate that they're showing, like, you know, her being really in a manic state to really down and trying to rebalance her life.
Yeah. I think they've gotten that part right.
Okay, me too. We're, like, always on the same wavelength. Last episode, I was a little bit of a negative Nancy. But I do agree. Like, I think this was great, and I love seeing it. And I love the awareness that it's bringing to this, you know, mental illness and so many people suffer with. And it's, like, they're not alone. And other people that don't have it need to know what they go through. It's so great because, you know, we'll find out. We'll talk later at some point about Serena and, you know, how... Because think of it. I mean, this isn't showing anything. This is facts. Like, even the family members have to deal with it and cope with it and figure out how to live with it as well if their family members do. So it's a lot. And I do think it's very cool how they're handling it. So what did you guys think, Ebony first, what did you think when you found out that Justin hadn't come seen her?
Oh. Well, I mean, I kind of was just... I wasn't surprised.
Really?
I mean, well, no, because they do say it in the beginning, right? So she just woken up, and then she asked, like, oh, where's Justin? Has Justin been by? And her mom's like, oh, no, like, he hasn't been. So I think I kind of was like, oh. I think, no, you know what? I take that back. I think I was surprised, because I was like, oh, like, why isn't he coming to see her? Like, what was the problem? Because, you know, we don't know what the problem is.
Were you surprised, Lauren?
I was and I wasn't. I get it, like her mom said. That's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
So I feel like I get it, but you would think he would at least call her mom, like call Carol to be like, is she alive? Yeah, is she still asleep in this coma? Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening? So
I'm just dead at you guys being like, is she still asleep?
So like, I mean, like, it's a long time.
Like, I had mixed emotions because, for one, I understand where Justin's coming from because he's also still dealing with his own emotions and what happened and the aftermath of it and trying to figure out next steps for him. And at this point, he's not gonna, like, it looks like he's not gonna skate at sectionals, so he's, like, also upset about that. So there's a lot of things he has to deal with, even though she is his girlfriend. You know, I do wish that, like, maybe he would have called Carol or, you know, messaged her and said, hey, like, what's going on? But I also understand where he's coming from.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Because I think, you know, you're building yourself up to, like, skate at sectionals. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling this person, like, we're not going to be able to do this if you keep behaving this way. And they keep doing it. And then you have this huge, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So I could understand why he would be mad and maybe not call her, too. Be like, this is your fault.
Yeah. So Carol tells everyone that Kat has pneumonia. And this was the first point where I really felt really dumb because I don't know how to spell pneumonia. Do you guys know how?
Off not fully, yet. But I know it starts with a P and an N.
It does start with a P.
P-N-E-U.
I was like, for some reason, I'm just like, I can't. Anyway, regardless.
That was your brain. That's where your brain went. Like,
that's the only question you had about that?
I'm letting you guys know. That was my, like, brain fart of the day.
That's okay. I'm not spelling bee champ either, so it's fine.
But yeah, what'd you think of that? Did that spring any thoughts all of a sudden?
Is that common? I know you...
To have pneumonia?
For ice skaters, is that common? I wanted to look that up, but, like, is that believable? Because...
I mean, it's believable for anybody.
I mean, it's believable.
And they live, like, in the cold.
They live in the cold. That's true. You know, I would say it's... I liked how Carol was like, okay, we're not going to, like, come out with this and, you know, this, like, truth yet, because it's really not her truth to come out with. It's Kat's.
Yeah.
So, I appreciated that she's kind of defending her and protecting her in a way with this excuse.
The cover. Yeah, she's definitely protecting her the best way she knows how, which is the reason why I said I kind of empathize with her, because she's only operating, you only operate out of what you know. And it's so hard. Like, being a parent is hard. I'm not a parent yet, thank God. But it just seems like you're responsible, like, for teaching people everything, and, like, you know, she did it young, and she has the same issue. So, I don't know. I kind of empathize with her a little bit more than just being, like, this evil, unstable person. Like, absolutely. She's doing the best that she knows how to do, and she thinks mm-hmm. she's doing what's right for Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, it's who knows what is right and wrong. It's like you kind of just do what you think is best, and this is what she thinks is best for her. You can't fault her for not knowing. It's not like she's like, this is gonna hurt her in the long run, so let's do this. You know what I mean?
The long game.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, I mean, being a teen mom is already difficult, but then having bipolar disorder, I think that adds another layer. So it's like you're in one state of mind and then you're mm-hmm. in another state of mind, so you're making decisions in, like, two states of minds, and you're like hoping that it's making the right decision, and, like, sometimes it just isn't. So that is difficult.
I had a thought when I heard that excuse, and I'm wondering if Carol used that before. Like, used the same excuse either for herself or, like, it's her go-to.
Probably.
That was just a thought.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. Heartbreaking when James comes to see Justin, and their relationship that has just become something, you know, to really be proud of, just crumbles.
I cried.
You did.
I cried.
There it was.
I cried. Aww. Honestly, that was just such a heartbreaking moment. Like
full tears or, like, just a little bit?
No, I was holding it back, you guys. Okay, I was watching this by myself. I could have bawled, but I was just like,
okay,
teared. And then you feel it, like, welling up in your throat, and you're like, oh, it's coming. You know, yeah. I just felt it. But I felt really bad for Justin, because he was trying to protect Kat by not telling his dad mm-hmm. about the bipolar disorder.
So no, he doesn't know about it yet.
Justin?
Right?
Oh, no. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Because he does.
Carol said, I made him promise not to say anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
because Kat was asking, like, does he know anything? Who knows? Who was there? She was trying to gather information.
Because she didn't remember who was there at the party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Justin definitely does know, though.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows. So then, so he was trying to protect Kat by, like, not telling his dad. But mm-hmm. then at the same time, like, he's kind of getting the messy end of the stick.
Yeah. Okay? It's making him look worse.
Completely. Yeah. To his dad, to be like, you're responsible. You're throwing this party. You're doing this wild thing. And I told you to get your mess together. And here you are acting a fool. Get the heck out. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and he still was just kind of like, okay, like, taking with a grain of salt. Like, okay, I guess I got to get out. I was like, dang. Yeah. That made, because, you know, obviously we know more information. And he was holding back and trying to protect and still getting screwed over. And I was just like, I'm crying.
I know. It's hard because Justin, like you said, is protecting Kat, is trying to, like, deal with everything. He wants to make his dad proud, but now he, like, had to kind of come forward and make himself look like he did something bad. And I just, it's sad because, like, they were just kind of connecting again. And then now, you know, and then James is dealing with, like, a premature baby. And so there's emotions there. And it's a lot.
When he said, I hope I don't F up the next kid, the new kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart. Poor Justin.
That was sad. Did you, no tears fell there yet?
No, the whole scene, you guys. It was the whole scene. I was crying the whole scene. Yeah.
Do we get full-blown tears coming down your face at any point in this episode?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, all right. I can't wait. Okay. So Justin ignores Kat's text. For me, I was like, oh, dude, come on. She's not asleep anymore.
She's awake.
She's awake.
So then we see Jen hanging out with Dasha, and she friends Tatiana on Facebook and messages her. It's like, here we go. Here's our other question. Like... presented. What'd you guys think of that, Lauren?
I love when Jen messaged Tatiana, hey, hit me back. I actually laughed. I like giggled to myself, like, that's funny.
I was like, she wouldn't say that.
And how Dasha read it out, like, hit me back.
That was cute. And her Russian accent. Yeah.
I loved how, like, she got the computer and she, like, she made, like, the delivery guy help.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cute, and it was such, like, her kind of her generation trying to figure out how to use technology and like what's this Facebook thing.
Yeah,
it was just, it was really cute and endearing.
So funny. So now this part, I knew something was gonna happen. Like, you don't, you're not gonna tell me these producers were gonna make any relationships like good or easy. Mitch and Carol, so like the first couple seconds they're doing grand, just so great. And then, you know, she kind of asks him to move in, and she's really happy about it. And he's just like, yeah, I'll think about it. And which was fine. I was like, is she having another episode? Like, I was like, what is going on? Did you guys feel that way at all with her at that point? Or
I think she might have just been projecting, seeing how Kat was being treated by Justin. She just kind of put her back in that mindset of when people know they... don't stick around. So I think she kind of had that, you know, projecting a little bit onto him. And Mitch is like the most patient, nicest guy, so it's sad.
I felt that it was a little forced, and that we that she was kind of being a little irrational and just like forcing, like, again, deflecting and like forcing someone to do something and bring up a topic where it's like, you've only been together a few like months at this point. You know, and it wasn't even all that great during that time. You guys have to figure some things out first before you go and move in with each other.
I just wanted to say this for the show in general. I so badly want, like, timestamps. Like, how much time has passed? Yeah. Am I missing it? Like, can we get a calendar in the background? Yeah. Like, how much, like, she's demanding this job. She wants to move in with him. Like, how long have they, you know?
Alana and Marcus are full-blown dating.
They're about to get married. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I think it's been 3 months-ish because I think in one episode they talked, Justin mentions, oh, we've only been doing this a few months.
Yeah.
So, but I get it. That, like, the time, linear time is a little
Because they definitely fast-forward through a lot of things. Like, fast-forward through time. So, like, in the relationships move quicker, and you're like, oh, okay, we're at the next episode, and now it's, like, a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. So, I think in this episode, I feel like time had passed. Whatever was going on, time had passed already. I felt that.
In one episode, Carol calls to go get help and then goes to get help for we don't know how long and then comes back. Like,
and has a boyfriend.
And he's, like, living with them.
Yeah,
like,
well, sometimes those visits are, like, a few days or a week or something, so...
Again, we don't know.
We don't know.
So this was freaking me out. This whole Serena and the secret person and the nudes and the whole like thing. I'm like, this girl needs some guidance. Kat ends up talking to her, and she kind of just says that she's dating Drew. Like, kind of makes it just seem like that. And we knew that it wasn't.
You didn't? No, I thought it was Drew. The whole time in my notes, I was like, oh, she's texting Drew.
Sexting Drew.
Well,
she was texting someone. We didn't know it was Drew.
We didn't know it was Drew, but I mean, that was my assumption. She'd been hanging out with him.
I didn't think it was Drew at all. Did you?
I didn't think so. What did you think?
I was focused on why she was sending nudes with her face in it and glasses on. Like, why was she, like, let me 15, put on my sunglasses and take off my shirt.
Let's not forget, she's 15.
That's why you need to be a child.
Not, what are you, like, the expert nude taker? You know not to put your face in it?
Hey. She no should comment. Not. I just find it weird that she had her glasses on.
She should not know how to take those, so the fact that her face was in them, I think, is okay.
All right.
She got an approval stamp from Emily. Go ahead and take those nudes, girl.
The real expert of the nudes, Emily May.
No.
so funny. So Kat finds out that she actually did throw a rager. She ends up finding this out. She didn't really realize or know. And that was pretty intense. So we kind of just leave that there, and that lingers for a minute. And then we kind of move on to Jen's doctor asking her out.
I thought that was so cute. I was like, yes, Jen, find you some love, girl. Get you some love, girl. Yes. I was here for it. I was like, yes, this is very cute.
And she says no.
Yes.
And runs out.
She does run out.
Also, just don't do it in the, like, just don't do it, in, like, after you got an exam.
Well, I do have to say that I have personal experience with this because I had a job. I won't even say where, but I had a job, and right, like, literally the day I quit, I go into my boss's office, and I was like, hey, like, this is gonna be my last week or day or whatever, and he was like, okay, great, well, like, would you like to have drinks?
No!
Yeah!
Yes! What did you say?
I mean, I said okay.
How'd it go?
Nice guy, right? But, like, yeah.
But what?
Yeah,
nice guy, but our personalities, he just had a lot of issues he needed to work through. And I felt like, and I felt like every time I was with him, like talking on the phone with him, it was kind of like a therapy session. Yeah. So I kind of was like, this is.
So, like, where can we find him?
I mean, if you want to be the therapist, girlfriend, I will pass him right along.
Sweet guy.
But also a lot older than I was.
Has anybody else been asked out in that type of way?
No.
That's super
That's
funny.
Really good, though.
I mean, I had the biggest crush on my PT guy one time, so. Still see him.
See, so this is accurate. This ice skating drama with a doctor, you know.
It can happen.
Asking out.
It can happen.
Workplace romance.
I'm married.
That's right. You're out of the game.
Wait, but isn't Jen, how old's Jen? She's like 21.
We don't really know. We don't know.
How old is she?
She's old enough that she feels she was saying, I didn't go to college, what am I going to do? So she has to be at least
22.
So, I mean, we're not spoiling anything for anybody because you guys, right? They should have watched this the episode. The doctor situation, I mean, this is where I knew that
we're getting into all of this.
We're getting into the whole
I knew right here because Serena is there to see the doctor.
Yeah.
As Jen's leaving. And I knew right there. I was like, yep, that's
it.
I didn't either.
Did you?
Well, I got a vibe, like the way Serena looked at him and the way that he looked at her and that they were trying to be a little sly. And the way that the storylines have been going in this show, I was like, there is something there.
No, went over my head.
Me too.
I was eating, though, so I was focused on that. I did not notice that.
Maybe I was too emotionally invested in the whole show. I was crying the whole time, so I did not pick up on any cues. Mm-mm.
No, I knew it, and I had a flashback of... Not a flashback, when Serena had hurt her wrist in the beginning and Mitch took her to the doctor and, like... It was just all so strange then, I remember, and being like, is this their, like, I thought at the time, I was like, is Mitch and Serena, because I kept thinking that there was something going on with them. I was like, is this their, like, ploy to make it seem like they are somewhere, so they go to the doctor and then they go to the car and, like, bang? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Well, the second time...
Thank you.
The second time they went to the doctor for her wrist injury after the, like, sledding
hockey?
Or the hockey or something accident... You know, it just, that chemistry, I noticed it then, where he was, like, kind of expecting her.
Like, because she texted him before?
I don't know, I just got a vibe that, like, maybe he was waiting and knew, like, oh, she hurt her wrist.
Yep.
No, I didn't get the
vibe. I don't know. That's a vibe I got, but.
Well, you know, as far as the storyline goes, we'll keep it here, but, like, you know, we'll come back to that. But, yeah, then I knew.
It's...
And so you haven't cried again yet?
Not yet.
All right, hold on. We're going to get you. Jen goes to the bar and gets drunk. Marcus gets kicked off the ski team. And Carol with this new client, which, again, it was just, like, a little bit dragged out for me. Like, but I guess they did set it up in a way. But, I don't know. What did you guys feel anything about that? About Carol in this
Carol,
scene.
Carol.
Knew she was going to get herself into trouble, like she always does, no?
I kind of I thought
you were like normal.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, great. Like, she's setting up business. Like, she got the opportunity and she's seizing the moment. Like, she has the client and she's really forcing, not forcing, but like being assertive with this client and being like, yeah, no, I need to show you why this is so great. He was kind of flirty, but I mean, I think you kind of like, you have to flirt with your clients a little bit. A little bit.
I mean, you're wooing them.
It's a woo.
You're like, hey, you know, you have to be friendly, but
there's a thin line between charming and flirting.
Totally.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I'm not saying he might have been inappropriate, but I think she kept her eyes on the prize. She was like, but that property, though, you need this property. And he was like flirting, and she was like, but that property, though, you know? So she kept bringing it back. So for me, I was like, okay, girl, yes, you better get that lease signed, girl. But my thing was this whole parallel scene where you see like Kat come on the elevator and then you see Carol with the client. I was like, oh, shoot, Kat's about to mess this up. Yeah. I was like, Carol's going to see her and it's going to be something. And I felt it. I knew it. It happened after, but I was like, I knew something was going to happen.
I felt the same way, but are we going to get you crying again when we talk about this Justin and Kat conversation?
Maybe.
Yeah, so just Kat goes to see Justin and he's just like, stone cold wall, doesn't even want to talk to her, really.
Yeah, this was heartbreaking for me because he works so hard on connecting with someone and connecting with Kat in multiple ways, and it's just heartbreaking that like she messed it up in this way, and like she's trying to ask for forgiveness, but.
Was this the point when Justin said, did you tell me you love me only because you were... No, it wasn't this part. It was later in this?
Later.
Okay. But in this episode.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But what was in this episode?
Womp, womp, womp.
she said, wait, you're breaking
up
with me?
I don't think that's much. Like,
no.
I mean, that's nothing to me. Okay,
so what I did like, well, it was sad when she said, you're going to break up with me, and he just walked away, back to his going away party. He didn't even say yes or no. He just turned away. Yeah. And then shout out to the girl from the party, the first party she didn't show up to. remember when he was looking for Kat, and he just shows that knockoff Kat?
Yeah.
and she pops up again, like, shout out to you, girl. Getting your acting credit.
Yeah.
With her little mind.
Right. Get that second scene, girl.
Yes.
I thought that was really heartbreaking. Like, that was sad. I mean, you could just tell he was emotional, and you could tell that he was sad. And the way she just had to walk away, like, what else was she supposed to do? But she handled herself well. Even though she's going through a lot of pain, she handled it well.
Yeah, and he was trying to be so stoic and so, like, I'm going to be tough.
This is the only thing. I feel like at this point, Kat really came to him just because she felt bad, blah, blah, blah. But she also wanted to protect that nobody knew. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so sorry. How did that affect you? It was just like, but make sure, like, who else knows? Or make sure no one else knows who else was here. Like, and I get it. She's panicking. She's spiraling. Or spinning. But I get Justin being like, really? I was in jail for you. And you just asking me to protect you?
Right. But she didn't know all that. She didn't know all that.
But she didn't ask either. She was just like, who was here? Who was here? Like, you know?
That's true. She didn't ask, like, how are you feeling? What happened? Like, how are you? Mm-hmm. What's going on? How did that affect you? I'm so sorry. Like, that's true. She didn't come at with that perspective. She was just more concerned about herself. And I thought it was very interesting in this entire episode how Kat's behavior just affects everybody and how, you know, normally she's able to, like, put up a little Band-Aid on it and it, like, goes away and it's fine. And I think that's what she's used to. But since she actually has to, like, deal and confront her problems this episode, I feel like it's, like, a whole new thing that she's trying to like adjust to, but it's not really working, you know. She's trying to like damage control and everyone's kind of like not messing with her at all.
I mean, that's a good point, because this I think you're right that there's this whole episode is like a ripple effect of Kat's actions, and it's been a build-up, and it's interesting that this is really the first time that she actually has to confront what she did and figure out what to do and like solve the problem and make up for it. But she did it in a way with Justin where she's just thinking about herself. She's not thinking about how to help other people.
Mm-hmm. True. It's very true. So Marcus tells Kat off and just tells her everything that happened. I mean, like, doesn't hold anything back. So now everything is out in the open. There's no hiding anything from Kat. Everybody knows everything. Carol leaves her meeting or her drink with this client to go bring Kat home, number one mom. At this point, we'll give her that award for this little segment. Jen goes to talk to Justin, and they have this moment where they hug.
Awkward.
Awkward, really hug. Didn't need it.
Yeah, it was an awkward hug. I was just like, because he didn't look like he was into the hug.
Yeah.
And she kind of was
Stobbled over there, like on her crutches. Right. Like.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is awkward.
Mitch doesn't agree with Carol about hiding the bipolar, which I loved. It's like, thank you. Somebody tell her what's up. I mean, gosh darn it. What'd you guys think of that?
I mean, I think you're right. If finally someone says, hey, it's okay to talk about this. It's okay to bring this out in the open. How are we all going to be supportive of each other if we're not talking about it and finding a way to, like, to help you guys be, like, the best you can be, you know? That's,
yeah.
You need that support system. So I think it was really good that Mitch did that.
Yeah, so then Carol says, he's like, you know, how can we think about moving in together if we haven't even said I love you? And she's like, okay, well, I love you. Now leave. Like,
ooh, very romantic.
Yeah. So romantic. Most romantic.
That right. was hard. Justin goes to Dasha and she says, you know, she's like, oh, right, we're going to skate. She'll be done in a week, you know. She'll be good. And he's like, no, I'm leaving. She's like, so Dasha goes to Kat and just says, tell me right now. Do you have pneumonia? She knew. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a smart lady.
And she knew something was going on.
Yeah, and I thought Kat was going to be like, no, I don't. But she was like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her mom was standing at the doorway.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she's supposed to say.
I don't know. I thought she was going to... She's not obeyed her mom many times in this season.
It's true.
So I really thought she would. So the secret person isn't answering Serena. And then Jen's on a coffee date, and he's just getting all these messages with the doctor. Did you know then?
No, I still was like, dang.
Oh, God.
I didn't either.
Thank you, Lauren. Back me up, girl, please, because I'm just saying that I was like, yeah, he's a doctor. Maybe he does have outpatient care that he has to do. I don't
know. He has 24/7 outpatient care.
Yeah, make that money, honey. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I was like, Jen gonna get her a baller doctor. You know? Right. She can't skate no more. She need that money. Secure the bag, Jen.
So we move on to Kat packing her bags. She's just going for it. Carol doesn't want Kat to skate. That's where she fell. So it kind of just tied back to that. You know, we got that full circle moment there. That was good. You know, I really got that. So then we have this fight between really all the girls in the house. So Kat, Serena, Carol, and Serena just says, you know, I suffer too, living with mental illness. You guys, mm-hmm. I have to deal with you guys when you have your episodes, and I have to shut my mouth, and I have to keep your secrets, and I have to do. And that was a really strong moment for me. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I thought so too. I think, like we were saying in episode 8, you haven't watched it, go back. But it is really important that this show is showing, like, how it affects everyone. Mm-hmm. And Serena, we were introduced to her as such an entitled, like, spoiled, all the attention's about her. And just seeing, you know, more of her vulnerable side and how she's really feeling. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a moment for Serena to be empowered in her own voice. Because she finally can stand up and say, hey, you don't think I'm listening. You don't think I've been paying attention. But everything you do in this house and, you know, near the ice skating rink and everywhere, like, it affects me. And it was her moment to say, hey, guys, let's figure this out. Because it's affecting everyone's life. So I think, I like how it's highlighting it. I like how it's addressing it in the show.
I do also think it's a little bit of not a cry for help, but, like, yeah. Also, like, this needs to be said by Serena, but also, like, she has so much going on. She doesn't, mm-hmm. She's battling her own stuff. She can't battle, like, handle theirs anymore.
Yeah. And if you're dealing with your sister and your mom and your own stuff, like, this was her moment of saying, hey guys, this might get worse if you guys aren't paying attention. So you need to pay attention to me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the cry for help.
Yeah.
Yeah. My thing was just like, with Serena, like, I feel like she has so much going on that I think we forget that she's only like 15 or 16.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's not even that she has, like, what stuff should you really have going on at 15 or 16? You should be in school, playing your sport. That's the only thing you should be worrying about.
No, she's sexting a doctor.
Right. That's not what you should be doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like these, like, there's issues that, like, she's dealing with because of, like, her mom and her sister. So it's like she's in all this emotional distress because of the situation that, like, you know, there's no, like, family therapy. There's no, you know, the mom was really going through episodes and all that stuff. So it's like she has extra stuff to deal with. Because as a teenager, you really shouldn't be dealing with much. Like, maybe what car am I going to get on my sweet 16?
Serena tells Kat that Carol made the fall happen. Ebony, you want to tell us about that?
I watched it. And I was trying to take notes, and I was like, what was she saying? Vicky, huh? Who?
Yeah.
So I had to, like, rewind and press play again, because I didn't understand the whole scenario. But I guess she was saying that she told the coach, Vicky, like, go have her chain something in her spin when
she jumps.
Put her arms up. No, put her arms up. Yeah. She told Vicky to put her arms up.
Yeah, to have Kat put her arms up, and then that, like, threw off her equilibrium, and she fell, right? Mm-hmm. And so then she told Serena, like, don't tell Kat that I told the coach to do that. Like, we're going to just say it was Vicky's fault. It wasn't, like, don't worry about it, right? So I was just like, dang, that was evil. But I mean, but at the same time, it was almost like maybe she was trying to help. Like, maybe she was trying to be helpful. But at the same time, she's a nice skater, so she should know what those repercussions are.
Yeah, so the way I took this scene was that I think Carol was not on her medicine when that happened. So, however long ago. So
A year ago.
More?
I think they said 2 years.
2 years ago. So, when that accident happened, I feel like... She not only did something that like endangered her daughter, but she also told her younger daughter to not say anything. So, like, this outburst from Serena is also a result that she's been keeping the secret from her sister, who she's close with, or trying to, like, still be close with. So I feel like it was a big moment that, like, this revelation happened, because that is a sign where maybe Carol wasn't the best mom figure at the point.
Well, Kat tells her, you are a bad mother.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't disagree.
No. Yeah. Kat goes on to write emails to Dasha, Marcus, Justin, and Jen, and it was really heartfelt. I loved this scene. I thought they did such a great job implementing everything she needed to say to each one of them, in particular. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to see. Kat goes to talk to James first, Justin's dad, and sits down with him, kind of clears the air with him, which was really nice. And then she sees Marcus, and he's back on the ski team, and there's that. And then Kat goes to see Jen, and Jen has questions. What do you think about that part?
I loved it.
Really?
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
Dang.
harsh
critic over here. Okay,
wait, so why did you like it?
I liked it because I felt like Jen has been mad at Kat this whole time, right? And so finally, like, getting this letter from Kat, heartfelt, telling her, like, okay, like, I haven't told you everything. I have bipolar disorder. This is the things I'm going through. I apologize for X, Y, and Z. And taking responsibility, right? So I was like, that's amazing. A lot of people don't do that. And so then the fact that Jen came back to support her and be like, okay, I'm here in your room, or maybe they were in Jen's house, wherever. And to be like, hey, like, you know what? I support you so much that I want to know more about you. I want to know more about what you're dealing with. I want to know more about bipolar disorder. I know nothing. Please educate me. And I thought that was, like, a great moment. Like, when you have a friend or a person going through something, don't run away. Confront it. Learn about it. Educate yourself. So I was into the moment.
Yeah, I had mixed feelings about the moment, just because I think it is super important to ask questions and learn more about it. But also, just character-wise, I don't know if Jen would be completely ready to say, okay, everything's fine right now, you know, and completely forgive all the emotional ups and downs that Kat put her through.
I think it made sense that if anyone was to do it, it would be her, because we saw how they met. Like, they were, like, babies, little girls ice skating. They were so cute. I love that scene, too. Shout out to little Jen. She was cute. So it makes sense as to why. I get it. I get both sides of what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. 'Cause at the same time, we later see that they get, you know, they get together and they're friends again. So we do kind of need that context as to, okay, so you got to email Jen and now y'all girls again. Like, we needed that context. Like, we had a conversation. but I don't know. I just would have, I don't know. Mixed feelings.
Yeah, and the one person that I would think would know about all this would be Jen, because they grew up together. So you would think at some point over the years, Kat would have told her. So that's the one thing where I'm like, I don't know if it's completely believable.
My problem with this wasn't that they went into this conversation. My problem with it was just so cheesy. Like, it was like, remember Seventh Heaven?
Yes.
It was like that. Like, it was, like, so cheesy. I have so many questions. Okay, I'll come sit down next to you on the bed with the dimmed lighting. Like, it was just... It just didn't work for me.
Okay, spinning out. Do you hear this? I'm going to need you to hire Mackenzie next time on your set. She'll be the set director.
Yeah,
she'll have all the lighting together for you.
Okay,
all
natural. Natural is what we're going for, people.
Script consultant over here.
So James goes to see Justin, and Justin's still just protecting Kat, and you know, like completely. What did you think about that conversation?
Okay, I said I'm crying. Right? Yes.
It was really a really touching moment.
Right? So this is when James, Justin's dad, comes back and like talks to him, right? And he's like, Kat told me everything. Mm-hmm. I was literally tears falling down my cheeks, you guys. I was crying. So I was like, this is so cute. Like, just to have the dad be vulnerable, be open, hear him out, and know that like his son is not being irresponsible. Like everything that you've been trying to teach him and instill in him is there. Like, you did a good job. Like, you are a good father. And he took that, and he was trying to protect like the person that he loved. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to do that at like his own detriment. And I was just like, oh my God. And he's crying, the dad's crying. I was like, oh, this had me.
I like how they tied in the mother, like the whole fact that I've said some things to you that I really wanted to say to your mother, like that whole experience, because that's clearly this huge, like, unresolved thing, obviously, in both of them. So I like how they talked about it. And I also liked how they kind of joked it off at the end, because I feel like guys would do that. Like how a dad and a son, he's like, so you're going to kick me out still?
Yeah,
and they just like
emotional.
Laugh it off. Yeah, it was getting too emotional for them, and they laughed it off. I felt like that was cute.
Oh, by the way, just for the record, I did not spoil, because at the end of this episode it happens. So just thought I'd throw it out there. So Kat and Justin have this conversation, and yeah, he just talks about how like, did you really love me? And she's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. That was wild.
So that was what I was talking about. But also we end with Serena and the doctor and her just saying, like, we had sex. Like, why are you talking to me? Like, you know, just typical. And that, I liked this scene.
You did?
I did, because I thought it was real. She's this psycho little 15-year-old getting caught up in this. And she's like, but why? Like, you know, crying, hysterical. Like, it was.
It was totally a 15-year-old move. The emotions, the drama. She's crying in the middle of, the hallway and just.
No, it was in the car, right?
Or in the car?
Yeah.
Like, it totally. It was, like, totally.
Ebony,
major eye roll. Major eye roll. Okay, like, I don't know. This is like, she's, I don't know. The doctor, he has to be like 34. She is like, she's 16. I don't know.
I know, just, but like, at 16, you're so emotionally attached to
it. No, that, I mean, that part, I'm not like faulting her at being emotional. I'm just saying, like, the scene in general, like, I don't know, like, you're getting involved with your 16-year-old.
Yes, they had to give us another, like, a girl. Like a pedophile issue. Yes.
I was just like, it was too much. I was like, really?
The doctor. I know, that's what I've been saying this whole time.
The
doctor. Really, really, right? I do agree with you there.
I did, just really quick, I was looking just at people's Instagrams, like, on the show. And I found the doctor's Instagram, and his bio is...
Oh, no.
You saw it?
Oh, no, I did.
Oh, his bio is, I'm not a Mr. Parker, but I play a... I'm not a Dr. Parker, but I play a Dr. Parker. Like, I'm not a pedophile. I'm just playing one. So, apparently, I guess people have been, like, hitting him up.
Oh, no.
Is it like...
That's hard, though. That's hard when you're, like, you know, like, those, like, herpes commercials?
Oh, my gosh.
And you're like, oh, my God, does that person actually have herpes?
Or like Joey Tribbiani? Like Joey Tribbiani?
It's just like, you never know.
Oh, goodness. The risk you take to take the job.
Well, but, you know, it is a real issue that you know, that ice skaters and young girls have to be careful of.
Yeah, anybody has to be careful of it. But like, we had to put it in this show with everything else we had. I mean, okay.
The gymnastic girls, right?
That anyway, was another example. What do we have for some news and gossip?
Yes. So, a lot of the costumes have a lot of inspiration from professional ice skaters. So Kat's costume evokes some famous and familiar real-life costumes from some of the world's best athletes. So that red jumper outfit that she had on when they did the Romeo and Juliet program, it recreates Tessa Virtue and her partner Scott Moore when they won the second Olympics gold medal in ice skating dancing. Skating to Moulin Rouge.
Wow.
So that was exciting. And then Jen's costume when she fell and hurt herself features a black mesh top, really intricate rhinestones, beautiful. So that looks like and very similar to the outfit Korean skater Young Kim wore at the gold medal at the 2011 World Championship. So I thought, I was like, that's very interesting. I love how they have like realistic things with the idea of ice skating, making it look really real, and then even bringing in costumes too to make it like to even sell the point even more.
Love all that. That's super cool. All right, for our special segment, Emily, let's go around really quickly.
Awesome. So again, who do you think or what storyline do you think is skating on thin ice? For me, I am going to say that Carol this episode is skating on thin ice, because the revelation of her messing up Kat's spin that upset me, and her kind of reacting to Mitch that way seemed a little out of character for what she's dealing with. So
Ebony,
I'm gonna go with Serena. Still Serena. Sorry, girl. Like, I know you're young, I know you didn't know any better, I know you don't have a lot of guidance going on, but you're skating on thin ice.
I'm going to put Serena's lover, Dr. Parker, on thin ice.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a pedophile, so enough said.
I'm going to put Kat, because she just needs to figure it the heck out. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Ebony, where can we find you for the next time we
want to find you? Yes, anytime you want to find me on Twitter and on Instagram at EbonyChapman12.
You can find me at Emily May Heller on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Lauren Out Loud on Instagram and Lauren Mayo on YouTube.
And you can find me on Instagram at Mackenzie Fain. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have the season finale up next that we're going to cover, so definitely check it out. It's going to be a really good one. I'm spinning out episode 10, and I think we're going to have a lot to cover. So just stick with us, guys. We'll see you next.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.